Vegas. Locally owned and operated by Kep Broadcasting and Digital Outdoor.
Breaking news this hour from townhall.com. I'm Keith Peters. The House voted Wednesday to approve legislation to remove statues in the Capitol of people who served the Confederacy or otherwise worked to defend slavery.
The legislation was approved in a 305-113 vote. All of the no votes came from GOP lawmakers, while 72 Republicans voted to remove the statues. The vote was bipartisan, but it divided Republicans, with more than half voting against the legislation. GOP leaders previously had expressed reluctance to override states' decisions on which statues to display in the Capitol. Black lawmakers have long called for removing Confederate imagery from the Capitol, and the vote was seen as a victory for their effort. Some say this was a step forward toward a better country for all Americans. Bernie Bennett in Washington.
President Trump says he's sending federal agents into cities amid a shocking rise in violence.
Today I'm announcing a surge of federal law enforcement into American communities plagued by violent crime. We'll work every single day to restore public safety, protect our nation's children, and bring violent perpetrators to justice.
The effort's called Operation Legend, something Attorney General William Barr says is an aid to local law enforcement.
Federal agents work hand in glove with state and local law enforcement every day. We supplement and provide support to local law enforcement, but violent crime is ultimately a problem that will be solved by state and local leadership.
It's been met with resistance from most Democratic local and state officials in such areas as Chicago, Portland, Oregon, and New York City. Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell is preparing to roll out a handful of COVID-19 aid bills instead of a single package as Republicans revolt and split from the White House over priorities, that according to Missouri Senator Roy Blunt. On Wall Street, the Dow by 165 points, the NASDAQ rose 25, the S&P 500 advanced 18. More on these stories at townhall.com.
In small business, competition can be brutal. Over 90% of your potential customers read online reviews before buying. If your company's online reputation doesn't reflect how your customers feel about your business, then your competitor is getting the sale. If you're going to win the battle, you have to manage your company's online reputation. Reviews911.net wants to offer you a free trial of our online reviews management platform that you can have up and running in about 5 minutes. You'll learn how to replace bad reviews with good ones and how current reviews can make you show up at the top of local search results. Improve your customers' brand experience and get more reviews on the sites that matter most, like Google, Yelp, Facebook, and all the rest, so that new customers will find you first. Win the small business slugfest when you text WIN to 411-411. Reviews911.net. Text the word WIN to 411-411 to get your free trial today. Text WIN to 411-411. Text WIN to 411-411.
Summer is coming, and so are those high power bills. Astronomical bills, usually due to an inefficient air conditioner. Upgrade to a Hi-Sear air conditioner from Home Air Conditioning. Those old R22 units are not getting any younger, and they're costing you plenty. Cool your home for less. Call Danny at Home Air Conditioning to schedule an appointment at your convenience anywhere in the valley. Home Air Conditioning, 702-878-8367. 702-878-8367. License number 51994.
Would you like an air conditioning technician instead of a salesman?
Afraid you're about to overpay for that air conditioner from that national chain?
Then you need to call Home Air Conditioning for your new, quiet, and energy-efficient air conditioning system. And if you need service and repair, they fix it right the first time. License number 51994. Call Danny for your quote over the phone at 878-8367. That's 878-8367, online at homeairlv.com.
It's 5:04. This is a KMZQ News Flash. I'm Jim Dallas. The Culinary Union has dropped its lawsuit against MGM Resort. Local 226 had filed a lawsuit against the company's Sedell's Cafe at the Bellagio and the Signature at MGM Grand in late June, contending the gaming company was not providing a safe work environment during the coronavirus outbreak. Union officials say that they moved to dismiss the lawsuits because expedited arbitration is scheduled to begin with the MGM this week. Nevada plans to return to a traditional in-person election format for the November 3rd general election. The Secretary of State here in Nevada tells the Review Journal that their office would need as much as $5 million to run an all-male election, like the June primary, money that simply doesn't exist. The Venetian has launched a program to recycle used face masks. Company officials say the first-of-its-kind program in Las Vegas is being done in partnership with waste management company TerraCycle. The discarded masks, which are collected at the Venetian, are sent to a recycling plant, where there they are converted into a crumb-like raw material, which can be used to make composite lumber and shipping pallets, as well as railroad ties. The Venetian has been separating discarded masks since it reopened.
KCQ On-Time Traffic is powered by Meineke Car Care Centers. Come in right now for a synthetic blend oil change for just $17.95, along with a free AC inspection.
As we take a look at the traffic cams right now, we're getting some heavy volumes there on the Beltway 215 West at Green Valley, East 215 at Windmill. Cruiser cleaning up that multi-car crash 215 East at Rainbow. And remember, construction on Boulder Highway, that's between Sahara and Charleston.
Washington, D.C. I got a lot of evil there, but we're getting it out step by step. A lot of evil. A lot of bad people. A lot of bad people. A lot of fake media. Look at them. A lot of fake media. NBC is perhaps worse than CNN, I have to tell you. And MSNBC is horrible.
Check it out!
It's 1999. I'm on Meet the Press, a show now headed by Sleepy Eyes Chuck Todd. He's a sleeping son of a bitch, I'll tell you.
That sounds awfully harsh. Why can't you be a little more supportive?
Number one! Time is running out! Number two!
Ladies and gentlemen, Kevin Wall.
And this hour brought to you by SRT Special Services. In the COVID-19 era, it is important to know who's coming into your place of business. Now, if your business deals with the general public, if you invite them into your location, you need the Liberty AI from SRT Special Services. Call 702-221-1942. That's 702-221-1942. Well, she just completed a 12-day-long, and in many cases, night-long, special session of the Nevada Legislature, the 31st special session. And she is joining us now. She is Dr. Robin Titus, Assemblywoman, District 38, and the minority leader in the Assembly. She is also a family physician, and she is on the board of the Quad County Nevada effort at fighting this pandemic. First of all, Dr. Titus, thank you so much for joining us. Have you gotten your sea legs back?
Well, yes. We finished late Sunday afternoon, and I worked all day on Monday at the hospital and trying to catch up at home here today. So yesterday and today. But yes, I'm always ready for just about anything they can throw at me.
Let me ask you, the governor says there will be another special session, but he just doesn't know when. He's got some other things to do, like fight the pandemic. What is your sense of when this next special session will be, and what will be the subject matter that you guys will be dealing with?
Well, first off, this last special session was an embarrassment of just about anybody involved in the process, and certainly the governor doesn't want to see that happen again. When you have folks that, especially people in the media that traditionally support the Democrat Party, begin to question what they're doing, you can't have that happen again. So the governor rightly saw that this should have taken several days. It took 12 days. We were actually out there 2 weeks, but 12 different meetings, official days. And the reality is he won't call us back until his party, and that means the Assembly Democrats, the Senate Democrats, and they are in control. And the fact that this took so long means that they didn't have really they had made a decision prior to getting there. They weren't ready. We shouldn't have gone in on the 8th. Things were not prepared, and that's why it took so long. When will we go back? The governor in his proclamation left it open. If he's not organized and they haven't agreed on something on these bills, we're not going to go back in. When he put out that statement, he could use the COVID pandemic as an excuse not to go back in. I don't see him calling us back in until, number one, they're ready, and he's pretty sure we are not going to get ill. I think one of the biggest concerns after we did have a legislator test positive was that somebody's going to get sick. The longer this is going on, the greater the risk of somebody getting sick, and he did not want to see that happen.
And was it just the one member of the legislature? And it was a member, not a staffer?
Yes, according to my information, and you know, this is all very tightly controlled for patient rights and HIPAA and all of those things. So no names were released, appropriately no names were released. But by nature of who was asked to quarantine based on exposure and who wasn't there, we felt that it was indeed a legislator, not a staff member.
Again, Dr. Robin Titus joining us, Assemblywoman District 38, a family physician. And everything I've heard, and again, when you move around numbers, my eyes kind of glaze over, but my understanding is the folks that benefited most were the government workers. The folks that benefited least was education and health care. What was your assessment of what came out of these 12 days?
Well, I would say nobody benefited. I think the whole state, we started off from the start knowing that we were going to have a $1.3 billion hole in our budget. And as you've stated before, and I've stated before, we all know that the Nevada, unlike the federal government, cannot operate in the red. We have to balance our budget. I was absolutely supportive of having a special session. We had to make sure that our obligations were met and that we had the funds to do so. We could not operate in the red. So the special session was needed. And so across the board, we were looking at cuts. So, again, everybody had some cuts. Were some cut more than others? Yes. Was money put back in after miraculously some monies were found? Yes. Did those that were, some of the ones that we felt perhaps had some priorities? And I've said all along that people had different priorities in this. And one of the priorities were state employees. They did. We originally asked them to have 12 days of furlough a year, and they were able to find some money and limit that to 6 days a year. And granted, those families were struggling also. We heard testimony after testimony after testimony. Unfortunately, the private sector didn't have the option of having a furlough or not. The private section was given 12 hours notice, and they shut down. And so I think there wasn't a shared, there wasn't an equal across the board people asking to step up. Education took a bigger hit than we would have liked, especially K through 12 took a big hit. Some of the Medicaid options take a significantly big hit.
We just got word today that Wynn and Circus and a few other properties down on the Strip have issued layoff notices to employees. And I want to ask you, on a state basis, how many of the state's workers got actually laid off in all of this? Has anybody been laid off yet?
Originally, they were looking at up to 28, maybe a little bit more, in layoffs. And I have not seen a number, so I cannot tell you that nobody was laid off. It's my impression that they did not do any layoffs. What they did do for sure is freeze hiring. So jobs that were open, they did freeze those. But and again, just so you know, I'm not absolutely sure that no one was laid off, but it's my impression that they were able to prevent layoffs.
Are all of the state's workers deemed essential? I'm just curious because in a lot of areas, especially in the private sector, there are some folks that are not viewed as essential, and they get laid off. They lose their jobs. But it doesn't seem that it's that way with the state.
Yeah, the state didn't look at it that way. But I will tell you, we have absolutely essential state workers that I did not feel across the board furloughs was appropriate, frankly. I spoke out strongly that if we're trying to save money, we have to look at who worked from home, which offices were closed during this pandemic, which offices could send their people home, perhaps, and know, yes, the work will still be there when they get back, but nobody's going to die if they're not there, versus some of our Department of Public Safety, whole different ballgame as far as I'm concerned. Highway patrolmen, they already don't have enough of them. There's job openings, and now they're not going to – there's a hiring freeze. And if you're not taking a shift out there, that means you have to hire somebody to cover your shift. And when you have somebody come in and you're paying them time and a half, that just doesn't make sense to me. You're costing the state more money by furloughing somebody. So I was not a fan of across-the-board state employees being furloughed. There were some who just could not be furloughed. And then we looked at some of the ones that were federally supported, federal monies. If we're furloughing somebody that actually is paid in part by federal funds, it just didn't make sense to take away the federal money coming in. The math just wasn't there. So I had a lot of questions on who they were going to furlough, who they weren't going to furlough, and asking everybody. It's not all state workers are the same. Some could indeed take a day off. And the other thing I suggested was, why not ask each department head when you say, hey, we need to step up here. We all need to help. All these folks kept their jobs during this pandemic. Ask them, keep that 12 days of furlough, but go to the departments and say, hey, who can take 12 furlough days? Who would be willing to say, I want to take my 2 furlough days in a row? Maybe some of the guys are closer to retirement, and then some of these young folks with their families, they just couldn't do that. So I think it was across-the-board stuff just never works for me.
More coming up with Dr. Robin Titus, Assemblywoman District 38. We're going to have her take her a politician hat off and her family physician hat and put that on. We'll do that. We'll find out what's going on around the state. And is the governor going to take us back to phase zero or phase one? We'll talk about that and more coming up. I'm Kevin Wall. Good to have you with us. Our brand new home, AM 670 KMZQ.
On air, online, or on demand. Take AM 670 KMCQ with you wherever you go. Download the SimpleRadio.com app and make us your favorite today.
Hey, Kevin Wall here. Are you in need of a healthcare program? Well, you're in luck. As a member of Liberty HealthShare, you're part of a community that comes together to share their medical expenses. You can sign up throughout the year with memberships starting as early as the following month. And there are no contracts or commitments. Programs start as low as $199 per month, and there's no network. So you can choose your own doctors and hospitals. Liberty HealthShare is a nonprofit ministry, not insurance. So your money goes towards helping other members with their eligible medical expenses. And in your time of need, other members are there for you. You can feel good knowing that you're part of a community of like-minded individuals who understand the importance of people coming together to bear one another's burdens. To find out more, call 855-58-LIBERTY. That's 855-58-LIBERTY. Or go to libertyhealthshare.org/Kevin Wall. That's libertyhealthshare.org/Kevin Wall. Do you or a member of your family suffer from chronic pain? Would you like to make the pain go away? Hey, Kevin Wall here. Then you need to check out the Pain Injury Brain Center of America, now open in Las Vegas. At PIPCOA, they treat your chronic pain without addictive drugs and with non-invasive pain-free therapy. I suffered from chronic pain due to an impingement of my rotator cuff. I tried cortisone shots, painful physical therapy, nothing worked. Then a friend suggested I contact PIPCOA, and after just 6-hour-long treatments, the pain went away. In fact, I canceled my scheduled surgery. And after a brief hiatus due to the coronavirus, PIPCOA is back accepting appointments. Whether your pain comes from headaches, a disc injury, broken bones, hip or knee injury, neuropathy, even PTSD, regardless of the source of your pain, PIPCOA can make the pain go away. You don't have to live with the chronic pain. Make the pain go away. Call PIPCOA at 702-546-8767. That number again, 702-546-8767. At Castle Insurance Group, their mission is to make life easier for you and your business. Hey, Kevin Wall here. Instead of you taking the time to hunt down the best prices for your homeowners, auto, and business insurance, the pros at Castle Insurance Group do all the hard work for you, and it won't cost you a penny more. The folks at Castle Insurance Group don't represent just one insurance carrier. They can look for the lowest prices and best coverage from a host of carriers, name brands like Progressive, Nationwide,
Travelers, Safeco, Dairyland, and many more. At Castle Insurance Group, they make buying insurance easy. Just a 10-minute phone call with a Castle Insurance Group representative, and you can get the lowest rates and the best coverage. You kick back and relax, and they do all the heavy lifting. Call my friends at Castle Insurance Group, 702-714-1060. Remember, the quote is absolutely free. That's 702-714-1060. One more time, 702-714-1060. That's Castle Insurance Group.
You're pregnant, and no matter what you do, no matter what you try, you can't stop using alcohol, drugs, or tobacco. But no matter how lost you are, how far along you are, it's not too late. There's always hope, and there are many safe places that can help you stop using. In Nevada, pregnant women are given the highest priority for substance use treatment. Low-cost treatment options may be available so you and your baby can get healthy now. If you or someone you love is pregnant or thinking about getting pregnant and using alcohol, drugs, or tobacco, visit SoberMomsHealthyBabies.org. Or call 211 to find help today. SoberMomsHealthyBabies.org also has resources for healthcare providers, friends, and family. If you want to help someone who's pregnant and using, visit SoberMomsHealthyBabies.org or call 211 today. Sponsored by the Nevada Division of Public and Behavioral Health and in cooperation with the Nevada Broadcasters Association and this station.
You're listening to Live and Local with Kevin Wall on AM 670 KMZQ. Talk radio done right.
Dr. Robin Titus joining us, Assemblywoman District 38, a family physician. I want to ask you, the governor has hinted that he might revisit the edict for seven counties, including Clark County. And I'm not even sure, did Lyon make that make that list? Anybody up
yes.
Your way?
Yes, unfortunately, Lyon did also.
Wow, wow. I want to ask you, he said he's going to review it no earlier than the 24th of July, which would be this week. My question is, what is your sense after spending a bunch of time in Carson City, maybe with some of the governor's people? Do you get a sense of which way this thing's going? And you've had a chance to look at the numbers.
Yes, I look at the numbers every day, and today we've had another 1,129 cases reported in Clark County alone. So 91% of the cases that we're reporting are from Clark County. We're seeing definitely an increase. We'd hoped that the surge was due to the 4th of July and knowing the incubation period for the COVID virus and when you first show symptoms. That we thought it might peak, hopefully, the 18th of July, and then start going back down. But we don't know. We've seen it in certain communities or certain hot spots in Las Vegas. And we had 28 cases throughout the rest of the state and about 100 cases in Washoe. So Clark County is really, really the location is pretty, it is of a concern. However, people are not as sick. Our ventilator use is not maxed out, only 40% capacity for their ventilators, which is a good thing. 75% in the hospitalization, but what we know that we're not at capacity. Some hospitals are fuller than others. The good news is people are not as sick. So that's a positive thing, but the governor's made it very clear that if we can't slow this down, that he may even go back. Certainly in the hot zones, hot spots, hopefully he doesn't restrict businesses any more than he already has.
Is the governor, and I don't even know if you've had a chance to talk with him about this, but is the governor cognizant that when he makes a move relative to the pandemic, it's going to have an effect on business, even on the revenues that you folks are taking for 2021, looking ahead to 2022, that everything he does on the medical side is going to have an impact on what happens on the business side, on the government side?
Well, I hope he is, because if not, we're even in worse trouble than we already are in. The reality is, when we were out there last week, the term was that we shook the cushions, right? We found every little of quarters that we could find in the couch. They use that analogy.
Yeah.
And we found, they tell us, as much funds as we could find to fill this budget now. The only way we're going to reverse this course is getting folks back to work and getting businesses open. If we go back in to a phase one or cut back on these businesses, then where's the money going to be coming from? So I think he's aware of that. I would hope so, although I would tell you there's some things that happened this last week that I was surprised that they would even think that they would pass some of these bills, and you know, the numbers that they thought were wrong, the numbers they gave us were wrong. So I would hope he understands that, but I'm not so sure that I'm convinced that everybody does, and it's pretty alarming.
And by the way, when you say some of the things that happened or almost happened, are you talking about AB4, where they came within an eyelash of taxing mining?
Right, and that was one of the big things. We heard ahead of time that, you know, they were quoted, both Speaker Frierson and Majority Leader Teresa Benitez-Thompson and the governor's office were quoted as saying, this is not the time to look at raising revenue. This is not the time to go after mining. That needed to be vetted. I mean, they were quoted as saying that. But during the session, suddenly we get dropped AB4, which actually, you know, the mining industry had stepped up to the plate. They were going to prepay some of the taxes that they were already being assessed, which was going to raise about $50 million, $55 million, actually, plus or minus. And it was actually just during the hearing that the bill, AB4, was going to cancel out SB3, where they had agreed to pay ahead of time, which they've done previous during the recession, the Great Recession, that had been negotiated with them. The mining industry knew this was coming. Things were done properly. The industry that's been going to be affected was involved in some of the process. And then suddenly they dropped this bill, totally threw everybody off. We were literally talking to the mining representatives, and they had not seen a copy of the bill yet, AB4. And we sent it to them while we were talking to them. And that's just not how you present things that are going to affect an industry. And then during the hearing, I'm looking at the numbers from AB4 and the numbers from SB3, and the only difference that was going to be gained was $200,000. So I asked, I said, and our fiscal acknowledged the only difference between AB4 and SB3 was they would gain $200,000. They didn't realize that. The speaker assured me that they didn't plan the amendment that they came up with. Once I pointed that out to them, literally during the hearing, they called a recess, put an amendment in, and left SB3 in there so that then they would gain $100,000. Now, you can't tell me that they... Either they knew that would do that and push forward and had the amendment ready, which they denied happened, or it's even scarier that they didn't know it was going to happen. And it took me pointing that out, looking at the two bills in 5 minutes. So the whole thing was really a disaster, Kevin. It was just rather shocking, frankly.
I want to ask you a political question, and I know that you're a family physician, but I want you to put your political hat on. This governor has failed on so many occasions. The pandemic, Dieter, this even as you evaluated this special session, was a joke, and it was so wrong. They were ill prepared in so many ways. What does this say about this governor? Obviously, he's going to run for re-election in 2022. Can you talk a little bit about what he's done and what he's failed to do?
I can't say that he's going to run or not going to run. That's something he and his family will have to decide, those decisions. So some say he will, some say he won't. So that's there. He's going to have to live with these decisions that were made. Nobody knew, in fairness to him, nobody understood what this pandemic was going to do. But there's leaders and then there aren't. And so things happen unexpectedly and you have to be prepared to deal with it. And I'm afraid he just wasn't up to the task. Was it because he was new? Who knows? Was it because he had people giving him advice that turned out to be true. Who knows? We know our own president had a virus that gave him advice that perhaps, in retrospect, turned out to